I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Yesterday, Barack Obama became this country's 44th president. Today, he gets down to work. He's expected to meet with his military and economic advisors, among other things. But we are still collecting snapshots and memories of yesterday's historic inauguration. In a few minutes, we're going to check in with some of the thousands of volunteers who played a role in the festivities. And throughout the program, we're going to hear from some of the most prominent figures in the civil rights movement for their reflections, beginning with Ernest Green. Ernie Green was one of the nine young men and women who integrated Little Rock Central High School in 1957, literally standing up to a governor who called out the National Guard to block the students' entry and forcing President Dwight Eisenhower to federalize the Guard and call out national troops. Ernie Green has gone on to a successful career in business and government, and he's with us now from his home in Washington, D.C. Mr. Green, welcome. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's good to be here, Mitch.
You know, it's been a long couple of days, right? Very busy.
A long day, and time is, I think, slipping away from a lot of us.
Well, before we get started, I just wanted to play a short clip of President Obama's inaugural address. Here it is.
This is the meaning of our liberty and our creed, why men and women and children of every race and every faith can join in celebration across this magnificent mall, and why a man whose father less than 60 years ago might not have been served at a local restaurant can now stand before you to take a most sacred oath.
Or he might have said could not have gone to school in Little Rock, a school of his choice in Little Rock.
And absolutely. So, well, so, I tell you, when he made that part of his that piece in his speech, I thought about my mother, who was a school teacher, and who in 1957, when I went to school, I'm sure got a lot of negative feedback from people about why I couldn't do it, why we couldn't succeed at it, how foolish it was, and ability to reflect back on people like her who had a vision. I don't know if they could have seen that we'd have a African-American as president, but they had enough of a vision that they believed the country could do better and were willing to put, you know, job and home and car payments and all of that on the line because they could look forward.
What about you? We had the opportunity to speak with Majority Whip James Clyburn several times over the course of this year, last year, and he said, you know, I always told my kids they could do anything, but I realized I didn't really believe it until now. And other people have said to me, well, I always thought we could do anything, but not this. So what about you?
Well, I would be in the same category. I believed in 1957 that I was making the right decision, that pursuing education at Central was the key to having a better life, and that education was that kind of stepping stone. And Central High School represented to me the best of public education in Little Rock. But I didn't clearly believe that in my lifetime I would see someone with skin color like me become president of the United States. One is that growing up, presidents were mythical figures. You didn't know them. They were people far away in another place. And they just wasn't part of your consciousness. I mean, that was somewhere out in space that I didn't think that I could achieve or we as a people could achieve it.
Well, you've actually been close to power for a while. I mean, you're an assistant secretary of labor, obviously went on after Central High, graduated there. You were the first of the nine to graduate because you were a senior when you transferred. You went on to college and to graduate studies. You were an assistant secretary of labor, then went on to a successful career in finance. All along the way, what do you think your thoughts were about this presidency thing? Did it still seem elusive?
Well, it again goes back to growing up in Little Rock. I mean, you're right. I've had an opportunity in my life to know personally three presidents. I have worked for President Carter as an assistant secretary, knew President Clinton when he was governor, and even before that. I've met President Obama when he was state senator in Illinois, and that here again, you know, this personal relationship. But I, you know, we all are just in awe of President Obama's belief from the very beginning that he could become president. And it seems to me from the way he's carried out forming his administration and organizing government that he had a battle plan in his head for a long time. I mean, this just didn't happen after the election. He's given a lot of thought to this. And to think that somebody black could figure it out, have an idea of where they wanted to end up. You know, it really is like his title of his book is The Audacity of Hope. But when I look back further, I mean, it is the same audacity, I think, that the civil rights movement has brought to this country. A series of people and places, myself included, who didn't buy the negatives that you couldn't do it. And that you were in the right place and you should pursue whatever your goals and dreams are. But I think, you know, like Congressman Clyburn, that we put the dream of being president somewhere on the outer limits of the list, that wasn't something you were going to spend a lot of time spinning your wheels going after, because assembling it was just too impossible. And the other thing is, I don't think we gave ourselves enough credit for the impact that we had on the country as a whole, and that the country was changing a lot faster because of efforts in the civil rights movement and other citizens who challenged conventional thought in getting the ordinary citizen to think differently about who you are and what you can do, and Why not pursue the presidency?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Ernie Green. He's one of the Little Rock Nine who helped integrate Little Rock Central High School back in 1957. And we're talking with him about his reflections on yesterday's historic events. Mr. Green, as a person who was a first, would you talk to me a little bit about expectations? One of the things I heard from people in the crowd yesterday was a worry that expectations are too high for this president, that people will think he can, you know, walk on water, as it were. I wanted to ask, obviously, your circumstances were very different. You were a very young man doing something, you know, very hard, but not the presidency. But did you feel that way? Did you feel that all eyes were on you, that you could not fail? Talk to me a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, I think the nine of us all desired to do well in school. I mean, we may have been early nerds that we bought the idea from our folks and families and neighborhood that school was something you had to take seriously and you had to perform, you had to achieve. So that was the background we worked in. I don't think any of us, at least for myself, didn't spend a lot of time on the issues of danger and why you couldn't. I always said that the way that I fought back with the people who thought I shouldn't be there was to remain there and try to do as well as I could in the schoolwork. Saw it as a stepping stone. So that focusing on all of the possibilities of things that could go wrong would just put you into a frozen state. And I see President Obama in the same way. I mean, the enormity of the job, the task in front of him, all the difficulties, the issue of the economy, you can go down the list of things that he's got to wrestle with. But, you know, you're there because you have a view that you've got some ideas about solving it. And I take my hat off to him. I think it's the same can-do, you know, kind of American spirit. It seems like a worn cliche, but, I mean, this is what's made this country go forward. And it's an element that's always existed in the black community. Whether it's Little Rock or the sit-ins, people like John Lewis, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I don't think it's a vision that the American community has had about the African-American community and that attitude towards solutions and sticking with it and avoiding concentrating on all of the dangers. We know the dangers. I mean, I think if I had concentrated on what could go wrong any day at Central, somebody could have come up and taken us out, eliminated us.
I hear you. We only have about a minute left, so I wanted to ask you finally, what do you think you're going to remember from yesterday in the months and years ahead?
I will remember him taking that oath, and that even with the stumble of the Chief Justice, you had a vision that everybody looked out and saw over 2 million people standing there wishing President Obama, you know, the best and the pageantry, but it was just an achievement. I think an overwhelming achievement that showed that this country has still great possibilities, and he represents symbolically as well as in reality, a dream achieved.
Ernest Green is a businessman. He's a former Assistant Secretary of Labor in the Carter administration. He is a member of the Little Rock Nine, who integrated Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1957, one of the pivotal moments in the civil rights movement. He joined us from Washington, D.C. Mr. Green, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.